This is Dr. Paul Gellinger. I'm a professor of clinical medicine and voluntary faculty at the University of Miami Miller School of Medicine, and I am in private practice at the Center for Diabetes and Endocrine Care in Hollywood, Florida. I've been involved with the ACE lipid guidelines as the chair of the writing committee, and have an extensive interest in both diabetes and lipid disorders. The next part of this case, which is, what tests would you recommend? And we can proceed with that by looking at what tests are offered. There are many tests that certainly could be done in a situation like this that may help us, including a two-hour glucose tolerance test, a calcium coronary artery calcium score, an ApoB measurement, a stress test, a carotid ultrasound, and all of the above. In focusing on just what would be useful, let me just say that there's no one answer here that is completely correct. More or less, these particular tests and this additional information is useful along the way in its totality, but in what order you do things is up to the individual physician and what information is sought out right at the early stages of this evaluation. But I would make it clear that there is no clearly right and wrong answer in many of these choices. But let's see what happened here. Well, first of all, before we get to what was done, a two-hour glucose tolerance test would be useful in determining whether this patient, in fact, has prediabetes or diabetes, and whether, in fact, if the patient has prediabetes, he has both IFG and IGT or just IFG. The importance of that is those with IGT tend to have a little more in the way of cardiovascular risk, and we are more likely to treat those patients with, say, metformin or other agents. A coronary artery calcium score has emerged as an extremely useful test in sorting out risk. As you know, when plaque forms, it eventually calcifies, so that when we do a CAT scan looking at the calcifications within the coronary artery, we get a reflection of plaque burden. ApoB measurement is useful for sorting out the LDL particle number, not, I think, something we need to look at right now, frankly, but down the line. ApoB is very useful when one believes they're at their LDL goal. When one believes they're at the LDL goal, it is useful to measure an ApoB at that point to make sure certain they're also at their ApoB goal. It is harder to lower ApoB than LDL, and although one may reach an LDL of less than 70, or an LDL less than 55, the ApoB may not be at the appropriate goals. And it is important, I believe, and ACE believes, to normalize or correct ApoB as well as LDL to the desired goals. A stress test is likely to be done down the line. I personally would not offer that right away. I don't think it's going to tell us too much in a patient who's not complaining of nondescript chest pain or has not had an abnormal stress test in the past, etc. A carotid ultrasound should definitely be done because he's at a TIA, and that should be followed at least initially on a yearly basis and then at some interval afterwards. Another choice, all of the above, is a reasonable choice, although I don't think stress test is first on my list, nor necessarily ApoB at this point. And ABCE, which is everything except a stress test, is reasonable but not my ideal answer. So let's see what happened. A calcium score was done, and it was 527. A two-hour glucose tolerance test revealed diabetes with a 215 milligram two-hour post-challenge glucose. And now he no longer has pre-diabetes, he has diabetes. Now, does knowing the fact that he has a very high calcium score and has diabetes change the LDL goal to less than 55? My answer to that is no. No, it doesn't, because he is got the criteria of clinical ASCVD, having had a TIA, and chronic kidney disease, CKD stage 3. So knowing that he has diabetes or knowing that it's a high calcium score reinforces his risk for coronary artery disease, but he's already at the most aggressive LDL goal and will not change that. It's important information to know, though, for other reasons. Now one may address the treatment of his diabetes, and with a calcium score that high, a stress test becomes a little bit more useful in the evaluation at this point. And with a calcium score that high, continued aggressive lowering of LDL would seem to be a very useful strategy. That concludes discussion on that case. Thank you for listening.